ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. I'm glad to be back and glad to have you with us on this December the 29th, or if you are on the East Coast or the Central Time Zone, it is now December the 30th. We're getting very close to the new year. Hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas. And I wanted to let you know, engineers, I've got some echo. Maybe you hear that. Okay, it disappeared. Wanted to let you know that we've got some fantastic shows lined up for the month of January. It took about all of 3 hours to book all the shows for the whole month. And I've got Ken Adachi. Of course, Jim Murray, our resident scientist, will be making regular appearances. Booked four shows with Dr. Kasim Khalil, or Dr. K as he's known. He's been on the show a couple of times before. And we're going to be discussing Wrongly Blamed, the book about 9/11, and his wonderful, groundbreaking research on that, as well as some excerpts from the Secret Scripture and also the Magnificent Message. He's basically going to debunk the mainstream media spin on all of those events, as well as the fomentation of war around the world. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. On the 6th of January, I've got a two-hour special from Europe with Michael St. Clair. That is something you don't want to miss. You're going to hear the truth like you've never heard it before. Michael's going to be very prophetic about what we can expect to see, not just in the United States of America, but around the world. And he's been very accurate with many of his predictions. I've got my editors from the Idaho Observer, Don Harkins and Ingrid Castle, coming on board. Chris Hinckley, the talk show host with RBN, who has a show called The Road Warrior. He will be with us. Carl Pearson will be with us in the month of January. In fact, he's going to be our guest tomorrow. And we're closing out the new year with a bang. So just lots of things coming up. Dr. Richard Souder, the expert on underground bases and tunnels, will be with us. And I'm kind of excited about that just because of the level of information. Walter Burian will be with us. He's an expert on finance, investment, and taxation. And Rick Adams, talk show host of Uncensored Radio Free America. This gentleman has been at it for over 30 years. And he's a very good friend of mine. And I've been on his show a few times. In fact, tonight's guest is also a good friend of Rick Adams. And Rick introduced me to this gentleman. He is a student of the Bible. He also happens to care very much about our country and about the world. And he's also a musician, plays the bass. And I haven't heard him play, but I'm told he's an excellent musician. Knowing some of the people he hangs around with, I'm sure they would back that up too. With that, I would like to welcome tonight's guest, Mr. Joe Church. Joe, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Thank you, Don. Thanks. Nice to be with you again.
Well, have you been following the news coming out of the Middle East? I think this might be a good starting point for what we might talk about tonight. Not that we really planned anything, certainly, we're watching history unfold again with the attacks on Lebanon, or I should say, on Palestine by the Israelis.
Yes, I've been watching and listening to it, Don. Yes.
What's your take on all of that, Joe? What do you sense in your spirit? What is going on?
Well, last time I spoke on your program, Don, I talked about if things leading up to the 5-month period, starting with May through September, this summer coming, then we'd be roughly a few months away from that end time 5-month period, which would be the, we talked about that being the end of the year, end of the age. If that's the case, there is a prophecy in the scriptures known as the fast of the 10th month, which would take place the December before, right around Christmas. I don't know if I mentioned that or not. It's December 24th, 5th, 25th, 26th, roughly. That would be the time to which the towards for the fast of the 10th month. And it was a similar scenario to what is taking place right now with that situation. Would that be the fast of the 10th month in which Ishmael slew Gedaliah? We'll have to watch and wait and see. But so far, it's very, very interesting to me. Extremely interesting that this would take place at this time. I've had friends up here in Rhode Island and Massachusetts that we meet on a periodic basis, and we've been talking about that date for the last 5-6 years, and we said it just didn't happen at that time.
This well, it time, seems like it's happening a year ahead, actually.
Yeah. That's roughly when it would happen, too. About 6 to 7 months ahead of the 5-month period of the locust.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they're trying to accomplish with this attack? I mean, number one, if you look at what's going on, I mean, there's obviously the intention to provoke another war or to expand this war. What would be the purpose other than to make money, to maybe try to get the United States to make a commitment to attack Iran? What do you see? Without necessarily getting into the scripture per se, what do you feel is going on before we approach it from that angle?
The last time I spoke with you, I said that if this is the period, the last five month period, mm-hmm. then things would have to grow very, very dark within the next 5 months leading up to April, the end of April, the beginning of May.
Mm-hmm.
So things would really get dark worldwide. Do you recall me saying that?
Yeah, I do. You sort of said it in a moment ago, too. I guess I'm not so much looking for the outcome so much as what you think they're trying to do. In other words, you're kind of describing what it feels like or what it looks like in a general sense. Maybe you're not an expert on that. I'm just wondering, from what you've read in the Bible and what you see them doing, politically speaking, why would they begin attacking Palestine at this time? Why do you think? I mean, obviously, anybody attacking another country is a dark topic.
The geographical location of Jerusalem, a small, tiny geographical area, would have to get the attention of the whole world. You see, mm-hmm. it's all about Jerusalem, the real estate containing Jerusalem. It's getting the attention of the whole world. That's what this is all about. Whether okay. they're doing it intentionally or not, that is becoming the focal point not only of the United States, but not only of Europe, but of the entire world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you think they're going to try to draw other countries in? You know, right now it's been basically America supporting Israel, and there are a lot of reasons for that. I mean, the infiltration of the Israeli Mossad into our society is nauseating. The infiltration into the government at all levels, for that matter, and this sort of rogue way in which they can operate their intelligence agency in our country and perpetrate all these false flag events or be a catalyst for false flag events is beyond belief that this is going on, and they're allowing it. So obviously there's a secret partnership. This is a Zionist plot. I'm sure you would agree to that.
Well, I refer to them as the Kenites, the Kenite plot.
Yeah.
Sons of Cain.
Yeah.
This is definitely an orchestration by them. I mean, they every move that's being made worldwide now is lock, stock, and barrel, their plan, their joint effort, worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is not a surprise to me. I mean, you know, I mean, I've been following this for many years, and, you know, I see it very clearly. I see what their mission is, what they're trying to accomplish, how they want things to look real dark, leading into the appearance of their father in 5 to 6 months from now. They want to make the world look like this is the end of the world. This is the devastation of the world. And then here comes Johnny on the spot to solve all the problems of the world, his grand entrance in Jerusalem. Look, I brought peace to the world. What are you worrying about? Performing miracles after this great darkness falls upon the world, the land of the world.
Well, I've been following this issue of the rebuilding of the Temple Mount, and that basically they have all the elements ready to put in place. And, you know, this might be a diversion just to accomplish that without people really paying attention. They're going to be paying attention to the fireworks, so to speak, and not watching what's going on. We hear these rumors from Benjamin Cream that the Maitreya is on the way now. This is going to be this character that's going to perform all of these miracles and pose as the return of Jesus. And so you're going to have a lot of people duped into all these different illusions that they have planned. This is just one more. Is it any surprise that this is occurring also at the, let's say, behind the footprints? And I don't mean the evident footprints, but they are evident. the footprints of this oil maneuver that's going on now, where they've got oil down below $40 a barrel so that they can bankrupt the Arabs. That's really why we're experiencing lower oil prices or gasoline prices now, is because of their intention to bankrupt them. They won't be able to compete, and they won't be able to sell their oil. And this is maybe the first stage of the attack. Mm-hmm. What's your thought on that, Joe?
I see the Arab nations of the world, for the most part, Don, their culture and their religion are the only people in the world in which their culture is their religion, and vice versa. The two are inextricably, you can't separate them. I.e., there's the problem that the world community is having, bringing the Arab nations on board. They can't get rid of their religion without getting rid of their way of their culture. that the two are mixed, locked together at the hip.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's not necessarily anything wrong with that. I think how the Arabs, how the Muslims or the followers of Islam are being misportrayed by our media. Our media is propagandizing the religion without any basis other than to say that these people are out to destroy Christianity, yet that is the very cause célèbre of the Zionists. They're the ones that perpetrate these lies.
Well, this is the problem. The news media is completely controlled by the Kenites.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have them locked up in their back pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, you know, they're just they'll use it whichever way they want to use it. And whoever controls the media controls anything that goes into the minds of the people of the world. So, but see, all the Arab nations have to come into the one world global system, and because of their religious cultural tightness of the two, they're having a very, very difficult problem bringing the Arab people into the one world government.
Mm-hmm. So they're trying to do it financially, in other words, to destroy them, to bankrupt them, so that that they're starving and basically it'll cause their society to fall apart.
Exactly.
Sort of like what they're doing here.
Yes, exactly. I mean, men, when you hit their wallet, you're hitting the heartstrings now. I mean, you can hit them in many different ways, but once you hit the wall at the purse strings, that's when you get their attention.
Yeah, so, and, I mean, and they, unfortunately, that is not who we are. That's just our identification with this matrix, with the system of control and domination.
Right.
And I know you agree with that, because we've talked about that quite a bit, and it's clear what's going on. In terms of, let me ask you something. Let's bring it home for a second here. You know, it's I don't really intend to give the topic that we just talked about, you know, the whole discussion here. We've heard about riots in Greece for the past month. And recently as this past weekend, I heard that there were riots going on in Canada as well. They have a dilemma. The parliament has been shut down for several weeks, and it's been by order of the prime minister. This is not like the vacation that our Congress takes. It seems like they do it about 20 times a year. even in New York, there's been some protesting in New York. Now, in Greece, it started out as protest, and of course, when the police attack, then it develops into rioting. It's almost like this is being provoked intentionally, just so they can move in and declare martial law and subdue the people that way. And you see this happening now in different countries around the planet. They want that to happen here so they can disarm us. They want that to happen in Canada. That would give them the excuse eventually to form this North American Union that they have planned, even though they lie about it and say that that's not true. You know, you have this SPP highway that they're building up through the center of the United States, through Texas, Route 35, that runs all the way up to Minnesota, And then, you know, they're planning on turning Kansas City into a Mexican port. This is being done without the knowledge of most people. Of course, those of us who follow what's coming out on the internet, those of us that listen to these talk shows are aware of this and have been for a number of years. And still the mainstream media, with the exception of maybe Lou Dobbs and Keith Olbermann, don't report this at all. Anyone who talks about it is portrayed to be a wacko or a nutcase. And yet they themselves and the intelligence agency spend a lot of money and a lot of time putting disinformation out on the internet as well, knowing full well that that's the intention, is just to create all this confusion. What do you see happening in terms of this bailout, in terms of this highway, this plan to create a North American Union? What do you feel the American people are going to do?
Well, just the fact that the news media is putting these things in different parts of the world, the problems, the rioting in the streets, they're putting it on the news is a clue. Why would they put this on the news unless they wanted the people of the world to hear different parts of the world are now going into rioting and having problems and everything else?
I think they that's just the on the internet, Joe, actually. I haven't seen it on mainstream, is what I'm saying.
Okay, all right, I see what you're saying. Okay, then that's not part of, they don't want this knowledge coming forth. I see what you're saying.
I'm sort of putting you on the spot, but...
I don't know, John. I don't know why they would be doing that. What was your statement? What was your question, basically, about what do the American people think?
Well, what do you think? You know, we have this bailout. First of all, we're not being told the truth about the bailout, the reason for it. And it has to do with the offshore accounts haven't been frozen. That's basically the bottom line, is they don't have the monopoly money to keep playing the game that they've been playing with these derivatives and hedge funds. But you have now some problems in other parts of the world in relation to the failing banks, people being able to buy food or necessities. And they're protesting in Greece, and they're protesting in Canada over this issue of shutting down the parliament. These people have lost their voice in the government, you know, when the government is shut down like that by order of the prime minister. Now they say, well, they're going back into session, but what do you think transpired during that time? It's much like the games they play here when they take the banks offline and then you find out that they've embezzled $14 or $27.5 trillion while the computers were shut off, or while the bank doors were locked. And people are starting to feel the crunch here, but the news about what's going on is coming out. The obfuscation of what is actually happening in our economy, and the fact that these foreign or these offshore accounts where they took the money that they have stolen from our public projects, from foundations, from schools, from cemetery care funds, from virtually any money that's available to people somehow through the government has been hijacked and collateralized illegally in illegal trust pools involving judges and attorneys and politicians and certain corporate figures. The truth about this is going to come out. It's coming out right at this very moment on this show. But to a larger extent, people are going to become aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering what you're hearing in your part of the country, or what you're hearing from people who are following these events on a worldwide scale, knowing that this they can't continue this facade forever. How do you see our people reacting, or do you see them reacting?
I see people reacting, but they keep it on a small level. I believe a lot of them know what's going on, but because they have interests, they own their own homes and or partially own them, or for one reason or another, don't want to lose what they have left, what they've accumulated in this world materially. They don't want to lose it. They realize the overall power of this new world system, economically, politically, and religiously, and they just feel, they're overwhelmed by it. They just don't know what to do about it, so they figure, let me just keep my mouth shut and I won't get in trouble. So I think that's basically what's going on for the average secular American today.
So you're saying, in essence, they're afraid, then?
Oh, yeah, definitely, yeah. They don't want to lose what little they have left. They're running scared. Scared out there. I mean, and rightfully so, Don. I mean, unless you know the scriptures, you've got a reason to be scared. You see businesses, running dry, and, it's rich or poor, it affects all. Doesn't matter. Rich or poor, small or great, it doesn't matter. Everybody's being affected by this. I think ultimately, I'm a little surprised that the globalists are not bailing out the peoples in their homes. In other words, solving that problem, because that issue, if this is the time that I think it is, This issue about homes is going to get much, much worse. People hanging on to their homes.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they come up with something where they say, well, we're going to have to allow people to stay in their homes even though they're not making the payments. And, just have a place to live there. Because, if we have to put them up somewhere else, we're going to have to pay their rent and their welfare benefits or what have you. So I'm just a little surprised that they're allowing this to go that deep. And, of course, it's a chain reaction as a cause and effect. As one thing happens, it affects other things, and it's just a chain reaction or a bottomless pit. It just keeps going and going.
Mm-hmm.
So and then it's going to take supernatural divine intervention to solve this problem, because it's gone so far. I mean, I see business people that are very concerned. I see people that work for business people concerned. It's right across the board. They're bewildered by the whole thing. See, ultimately, I think this is all headed for a one-world currency. I think that's what they're trying to bring in. Establish a one-world currency in which everybody's on the same money standard. I don't know what form that would take, but I think this is ultimately where this is heading. If you have
The election, Joe, we had this Republican Party that was so certain that John McCain was going to get in, and I think they were butting heads on an international basis with the G7, and that's of course leaving the United States out because of all the consternation Bush was getting about promises to pay out on the Leo Wanta affair, something that they've denied all along, something that the media hasn't reported, yet that's exactly what was at the bottom of these trillions of dollars. The payouts were billions, but this is money stolen from our treasury, money that was supposed to go in our treasury. The offshore accounts were frozen. This is prior to the meltdown in the real estate market, and that that really is a problem with the real estate, but it's not because the people aren't able to pay. We've had that problem ever since they've had loans. That there are people who have not made their monthly payments on time, and they miss so many payments, and they're foreclosed. They used to try to work something out with the bank, between the banks and the borrower, to make those payments feasible, even extending the loan or lowering the amount, or working something out to where they give them a grace period and they pick up the payments again. Now they're transferring these properties via wire to other banks without the knowledge of the borrower. So, this is really what's going on. And yeah, you're right. People are afraid. People are crippled. We have maybe 10 million people who have been evicted from their homes. You don't hear anything about this. These people are living in tent cities all over the country. And these guys are getting away with this. What do? To get their hands on more liquid cash, they tell us, well, we have to bail out these companies. They bail out AIG, and they go take a vacation in Southern California and blow $500,000 in 1 week. The people should be outraged by this. But pretending like it's not going on because they want to keep their house isn't going to stop it. These people aren't playing favorites here. You know, they want to move in and take somebody's property. They're going to take it on the basis of the trillions of dollars that are being stolen around the world. Other countries are getting sick of this. Other people are getting sick of it. And it's the rogue elements of our so-called political leadership that are involved in this. And our Justice Department. You know, you're looking at total gangland corruption. It's just organized crime is all it is. Joe, we've got a call. Darren from Brushberry, Washington. Darren, are you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Thanks for calling in to Evident Footprints. Do you have a comment or question for our guest, Joe Church?
Yeah, no, hi, Joe. He was mentioning something about the one world currency. I heard something a while ago about an Amero. It's supposed to be a one world currency called for the Americans, for America, for Mexico, Canada, and the U.S.
Yeah, the North American Union. Yeah.
Yeah, is that going to be something because I've heard there's actually warehouses full of this already, the Ameros.
Well, if you think about it, you know, it could be quite true. Joe, do you want to answer anything on that?
I seem to think that it's going to be a currency that's worldwide, not just U.S.-wide.
Okay, so
yeah.
It's not like the Euro. It'll be the Euro, and they'll put the Euro together with the Amero.
Well, that's possible. You know, my viewpoint on that, Darren, is that you know, you've got a worthless dollar. You've got a fiat currency. Does it matter what you call it or what it looks like or, you know, whose face you put on it, what occult symbol you put on it, whether it's got the Eye of Horus on a pyramid or some kind of Masonic symbol or something from Skull and Bones? Does it really matter? It's an illusion. Money is an illusion.
Yeah, it definitely. And the Federal Reserve has a lot to do with all the interest. So it actually goes back to the Bank of England, right?
Mm-hmm.
As far as how they put people into debt using interest. It should have never been that way in the first place. You know, it shouldn't be. We shouldn't have that kind of interest on our money.
Yeah.
Even if I understand that money is just it's a symbol, and we could use anything. We could go back to a barter system if we wanted to.
Yeah, exactly. And many people are suggesting that, too.
Yeah.
See, putting three countries together under one currency is how they think they can pull this off. You have the Canadian dollar, which is actually worth more than the U.S. dollar, but this is done by design. The peso's been worthless for how long? I couldn't tell you how many pesos it takes to make up a dollar, but they've certainly brought the dollar down to the level of the peso.
Yeah. it's all the cycles that people think they're natural cycles that actually been designed.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I don't really tell people that, and they just, they're like, oh no, that's just the way it works in the economy. But it's like, well, if you really look at it, that's not really a natural occurrence.
Yeah. Now, Joe's mentioning a world currency. And in light of that, I would just like to add that the euro, it basically is worthless as well. It's a fiat currency designed to do what they intend to do with the Amero. And Joe's implying that they may not work out, so they may push for a world currency, which may be why you see Obama in there, you see.
Yeah.
We have the puppet. They've all been puppets, but politically speaking, he's been trained for quite a long time and groomed for this role that he's playing. And you can tell by the people he's surrounded himself with who his handlers actually are. Joe, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, anybody that's going to bring in this one-world global system, politically, economically, educationally, or religiously, is going to be a very important part of their plan. So anybody that thinks globally is good for them. They want that mindset, that mind thought, always working for the greater good of all the nations of the world. So global, anything that's, anybody that's bringing globalism through the four hidden dynasties to the front, they're going to be accepted and stroked. So, to make a one-world economic system work, it only makes sense that if you have one currency, you wouldn't have to deal with inflation or changes of currency anymore, the dollar or this or that. All those concerns would be gone. You just print money as you need it. And then it's a question, once you control the whole world, there's nothing to compete against. Then, once you have every economy the same, all you do is print money as it's needed, and you don't have to worry about inflation or anything else like that. Then all you've got to do then is take the mark of the beast. Only those that take the mark of the beast will be able to buy or sell. And this goes for rich or poor, free or bond. It doesn't matter who you are, what economic stratus you come from. Unless you take this mark, you will not get any money put into your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Of the new printed money that's going to be shelled out whenever it's needed. But you've got to bow the knee to this entity, the world government. Yeah. That's what this is all about, Don.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to work according to the scriptures. It's going to keep falling and falling and falling. And that's why their father is going to be called to this earth, and he's going to be cast from heaven to this earth by Michael, the archangel, Revelation 12. It says they rejoiced in heaven when he was thrown out. But he says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. See, he's coming to this earth as Savior. Many Christians are going to have the great revival when he arrives on this earth. It's going to be a worldwide Christian revival of my brothers and sisters. Saying, this is Jesus' return, and it's Satan all along.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that's going to make this thing fly for a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
But until he gets here, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Because there's people like yourself and myself witnessing against it. It can't work.
Well, even when he comes, I'll be witnessing against him. So
no question about it, Don. No question about that.
Yeah. Darren, do you have any other comments or questions?
No, that's, you said it really well. And I would, and what he's talking about too, I've heard of, I don't know if you guys know anything about the past, what happened 13,000 years ago. I've read that there was another, what they call the Luciferian rebellion. I don't know if that has anything to do with what you're talking about that's happening now, if it was in the Bible or what.
But that's sure, that was the end of the First World Age.
Is that what that was? Yeah, they call it the Luciferian Rebellion. Is that what the same thing?
Sounds familiar.
They call it the, it was like the, what they call the material, materialism, or I guess it would be during the Atlantean, it was Atlantis, it was a materialistic revolution that people developed, got more into materialism and destroyed themselves that way, and that's kind of where parallel to what's going on now.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
yeah,
we've
had different shifts of control, or let's say modes of control, in a sense. There was a time on this planet when the female vibration was very high. Women were esteemed, and they sort of got tricked into, and this goes back about 13,000 years, they got tricked into the male force being the dominant force. And they gave up their power and became subdued. Now, we saw in the 1960s this movement to get women to be more outspoken, more free, in the sense of just spitting in the face of traditional, or what we grew up with as traditional customs, social customs, that women were subservient. They don't vote. They take care of the home, and they obey the man. And this was taught in Christianity, in the religion. All the world religions basically made the women subservient during this time. And the intention of the bankers was to liberate the women to double the tax base, to double the capacity to feed the tax base and to feed the corporate world. And all the while, really not intending to honor women, but to build up the ego, to entrap them equally in the matrix with the men, with the male counterparts. So we are moving towards a period where we are going to have a balance of the male and the female energy, but we are in such a dense state right now, and it's such a low vibration compared to where we're going to be, that we have to go through this. Now, their intention is to bring it down lower just to control us. Where is there to go after that except complete annihilation, complete destruction?
Yeah, what they call like a nuclear holocaust type of.
Well, it wouldn't even necessarily have to be that. They could do that with the bird flu or AIDS or any manner of diseases that they've created in laboratories. They could do it by poisoning the food and the water, the environment. They could literally destroy the earth through false or manipulated earthquakes created through electromagnetic weaponry or technologies. I mean, it's getting pretty sick what they're doing, creating computers that fit inside a molecule. What's the purpose of that? What does that accomplish other than to fulfill some insane desire to what? To just ruin creation? And I don't think God is going to stand for that. I really don't. The fact that we're talking about this right now is an indication of that.
Yeah.
Well, according to the scriptures, Don, Jesus said, if it had not been that the days were shortened, even the very elect would be deceived. There'd be tremendous, tremendous problems living in a flesh body in those days. Isn't it interesting that in Corinthians, Paul talks about a deep mystery. I'm going to explain it. He says, in the end, at the last trump, all flesh shall be changed instantly in a twinkling of an eye into an incorruptible body. in other words, a body that won't rot or disease, and like the bodies we have now. So there's going to be a change of bodies instantaneously worldwide. So all the efforts that man are making right now to deal with flesh bodies will be eliminated with the advent of this new body. So,
that has its counterpart in metaphysics, just the same. That the Earth is being bombarded, as is the rest of our solar system, by a what is called the photon band, which is raising the frequency, because the photon band is light. Light is energy. Light is information. And it's coming from a very high vibration, so it's going to raise our DNA. I don't think everyone is going to move on into that space if they don't get their act together. Those that are vibrating at a lower frequency, those that are wreaking havoc on the Earth, are going to have a price to pay, but they're going to be their own judge.
Some will achieve immortality. In other words, that's the ability of the soul not to be killed before the end of this flesh age. But the others that don't reach that level, they'll have to go through that millennial age that I call it, 1,000 years of teaching, and a day is as 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture. One plus thing would be this, too. When that change of body takes place, you won't need procreation anymore. In other words, you won't have to have children anymore. There won't be any more need for the male-female scenario.
Mm-hmm.
All will become one gender at that point.
Yeah, that substantiates what I said about the balancing of the male and the female energies.
There you go. That's what you reminded me of.
Well, you see, Darren, it really doesn't matter what currency they come up with. Ultimately, this is going to be a spiritual issue.
Yeah, it's an inner using your inner guidance from the heart center, that kind of thing. You know, what you're talking about kind of reminds me of what I've read before about what they call the Merkaba, where you when he says that you rise up to a certain vibration, and as this You become protected from, as you get to a higher vibration, you go through this that you're talking about, the photon belt and all that. And then the lower vibrations are sent back to another 26,000 year cycle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a choice, and everyone has that inner choice to follow that. And I think
that's
the most important thing.
Amen. That's exactly what it is. That's the whole purpose of life, is to make that choice between good and evil.
Yeah.
Or the low and the high. And it's in a vertical sense. It's not in a linear sense. The matrix is all designed to keep you thinking about what's in front of you or what's behind you. And very little in the now, very little in the moment that you're in. Everything is controlling you on the basis of what you believe or what you've been led to believe about the past, and what you're anticipating in the future can only be based on what is the known, and that pulls you back into the past. The key is to be, or to be in a state of being now, and there. And it's a perpetual state of continuity. That's what Joe's talking about us moving into, although he didn't refer to it as such. I think Joe would probably agree.
Yes.
If you're not going to die, then there really is no future in that sense. It's a perpetual state of now. That's the nature of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Anybody.
You would have to feel real comfortable and knowing that no matter what happens from that point on, that the Father, the Heavenly Father, the Creator, the Almighty, the Eternal One, is in control of the whole picture. So if you can have it one minute with Him, atonement or atonement, then that relationship is going to last eternally because he is eternal. And he's taking you by the hand. He's going to walk you right through it. No matter what kind of turmoil goes on all around you, you're going to go through with it.
Mm-hmm. And that essence is already inside us, as Darren pointed out. It's in the heart.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, we're parts of his fire. We're little flames off the fire. We're actually part of him. We're chips off the old block. In other words, he's the rock. We're just chips off the rock. But we're made of the same ingredients. We're part of his being. And at some point, we all come back into that rock, joined together back into him.
Well, that's
it's
true.
That journey that you have to make to seize that relationship and get back to that good, close relationship with a loving father. He gives us flesh fathers in this earth, so that we can have a nice relationship and know what that feels like. But then we have to make the connection back to him, because he always uses nature to show us what's really going on in the spirit world. Nature was used as examples of the spirit.
Yes.
So, it's just a learning process. And my father used to say to me when I used to play sports, I used to ask him, I said, what do you think? We're going to win the game tonight? He says, how bad do you want it? That was always his answer to me. How bad do you want it? See, it's how bad you want it.
Well, in just concluding these remarks, I think we could remind ourselves that we are our own saviors, that we have to take individual responsibility and getting our personal house in order. We have been taught to focus on everyone else, but ourselves. And that's a very clever, crafty way to control people, because you keep people from realizing who they are in the truest sense. And they're not going to show you who you are. It's already inside you. All you have to do is begin looking, seeking that. And you will notice that what Joe just described is actually true. So, Darren, thank you for calling in, and please call in again.
Yeah, very good, guys. It's great stuff. I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Great comments and great questions.
Yeah, thanks, Joe.
And wish you a happy new year, too.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, Joe, there you go. You got a call. See that?
All right. Yes. That's great. It's nice to know you're making a connection with somebody. It's a nice to get some feedback.
Yeah.
Sometimes
there
you
can
feel it through the phone, but sometimes it's nice to hear their voice in person.
Yeah. It's a good point, because there's somebody that's paying attention to what's going on, at least what the scuttlebutt is out there. And, there are a lot of reasons why they put these stories out. They may come to pass. They may be intended. They may be thwarted at the last minute. And it really doesn't matter. Ultimately, none of this stuff really matters, does it?
No, it doesn't. No matter how they change things or do things, the ultimate outcome is going to be the same. So it's... who do you want to follow? Do you want to follow the leaders of this world? Or do you want to follow the plan of the Heavenly Father? It's the one or the other. Also,
yeah,
John,
we
were talking about the fast of the 10th month being 5 to 6 months before the final 5 month period leading into it. Also, that would be about the same amount of time in which the true Elijah would return. You know, in the scriptures, it talks about Elijah returning that great day, Malachi, the last chapter, in fact, the last paragraph, said I would send you Elijah the prophet that day. And he would turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, plural, small f. See, Elijah would be a prophet who destroyed all the 400 prophets of Baal, all the Christian community that was going and chasing after Baal,
mm-hmm.
destroyed them all.
That was the first bailout.
And, you know, he's going to be back again.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be popular amongst the religious community. Not popular at all.
Now, how do you see him identifying himself? That one can discern.
Probably your religious community around the world would challenge him, come out and make a grand challenge against him. Of course, the political world would get involved because in that time, in the Old Testament, the political system even got involved in it. So the king sent out 50 agents to take him captive. And fire came from heaven and destroyed them all. Three sets of 50s. That was the political and the religious. And he also destroyed the religious.
So his
worldwide.
Yeah, his return is going to come with a renewed power then.
Oh, yeah. Yes, just the same way that Satan's Elijah, there'll be a false Elijah also.
Mm-hmm.
Be a false prophet. A prophet means teacher, false prophet. You're going to have the true Elijah, and you're going to have the false Elijah. You're going to have every positive is a negative. But
yeah.
this Elijah will be recognized by the world and hated by the world because he's thrown a monkey wrench into the works. But this is interesting, the way this is happening over in Jerusalem today, Don. This is very,
mm-hmm.
very, to me, this really gets my attention because of what we have been looking for a number of years, past the 10th month, which would be around our Christmas time.
Yeah.
And this conflict did happen. Now, we'll see how large this flares up to be. I don't know how large this is going to be, but the fast of the 10th month was a great slaughter. Huge slaughter.
Yeah.
But we'll have to wait and see.
Well, the media has reported some 300 deaths. Of course, they've been reporting that for days, so we really have no sense of how many people have actually been slaughtered. It's usually 10 times the amount that they report, at least, as it has been in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we'll stay posted. And if the opportunity arises and we can bring you on sometime in January, will you come back and visit us?
Sure, definitely.
Okay, right as it stands right now, I'm fully booked up for the whole month. So something may transpire where we bring you on a show, maybe
sure.
with Chris Hinckley.
Definitely, yes.
I think that would be interesting. A lot of what Chris brings forth is Bible-based as well. And, you know, he's studying these world events very carefully, too.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, we're about out of time. I'll leave you with the closing word for the listening audience, if you would. Anything that's on your heart that you want to share with people, just to pay attention to what's going on?
Right. I'd like to read a reading from Matthew 24. It's one of the seven seals, so that you're sealed ahead of time, so that you won't be deceived. This is one of seven. In the book of Revelation, they cried, no man is left to open the seals. Well, only the one of the tribe of Judah, he was able to open the seals, and he did. For those that have eyes to see, in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, and this is the first seal. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. When you hear of wars and rumors of war, don't worry. But you hear of the opposite of wars and rumors of war, that's peace and rumors of peace. That's when the end is. And that should sum it up, Don.
Okay, well, Joe Church, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints. As always, you're welcome to come back. And as I mentioned already, as situations develop and it warrants you coming on, certainly get in touch with me if you feel you have a message that you want to deliver too. That invitation's always there for you.
It should be a nice, interesting few months coming up here.
Oh, I know. I think all hell's going to break loose in a sense, but you know, your words of comfort are well taken. You know, we don't have to be swept under all the confusion and the intentional disinformation that's going to be out there, the deception.
Right.
Okay. Well, Joe, I'm going to say goodnight to you, and I want to wish you a happy new year.
Same to you, Dan.
Thank you. And also to our listening audience, if you, for some reason, are unable to tune in the rest of this week up till New Year's. Hopefully that's not the case. People do have things they have to do, though. We want to wish you a very happy New Year. I have attorney Carl Pearson on tomorrow night. You don't want to miss tomorrow's show. We're going to be delving into some things that we can do on a local level to take back our country, our society. And Carl will be with us also in the month of January as well, several times. He's working on some very important cases that are going to hopefully change the matrix. With that, I want to say to Don and Doug Newsom, thank you for making Evident Footprints possible. And Don was running the sound tonight. Great job tonight, Don. Also, to the listening audience, beyond a happy new year, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.